Hello, and welcome back to Bywords, a conversation on 50 years of experience and knowledge gained in the antiques, collectibles, vintage, retro, and estate business by me, your host, Rich Deakins. This episode will be our fifth episode speaking on antique and vintage jewelry. Today, we're going to take a look at Art Deco jewelry. In our previous podcast, we talked about the transition from Victorian jewelry to Edwardian jewelry, and we hinted just a little on to that about the transition from Edwardian to Art Nouveau to arts and crafts and the aesthetic movement. And we talked about how the Victorian era was the first era to begin to employ machines in the making of consumer goods, and that the Art Nouveau and arts and crafts eras both kind of rejected the machinery. Well, as we continue into the beginning of the 20th century, we're going to hit an era where they actually celebrate all that machinery and mechanization and futurism. Today, we're going to talk about Art Deco jewelry. If you've ever admired a sleek geometric brooch, a bold platinum bracelet dripping with diamonds and onyx, or those iconic Tutti Frutti pieces that look like they belong in a Hollywood starlet, you've already fallen for Art Deco. But what makes it so distinctive? And who were the visionary designers who turned jewelry into modern art? We are about to uncover the clean lines, sharp contrasts, and dazzling innovations that still influence what we wear today. The period of Art Deco roughly spans from 1920 to 1939, right after World War I. Designers ditched the flowing, nature-inspired curves of Art Nouveau and embraced the machine age. Think geometry on steroids. Zigzags, chevrons, sunbursts, stepped pyramids, and perfect symmetry. No more soft, flowing organic shapes. Everything was bold, streamlined, and architectural. Materials were just as revolutionary. Platinum and white gold took center stage because they were strong yet lightweight, allowing for intricate openwork and delicate settings that gold simply couldn't handle. Diamonds were cut in baguette, emerald, or Asher styles and paired with dramatic contrasts. Black onyx, jade, coral, lapis, or frosted rock crystal. Bold color pops of emerald, ruby, and sapphire against white metals created that signature wow factor. Exotic influences flooded in too. Egyptian pharaoh motifs, Asian dragons and pagodas, even African and machine-inspired elements like gears and ball bearings. The result? Jewelry that screamed modernity, luxury, and optimism. It wasn't just decoration, it was wearable architecture celebrating speed, technology, and the new woman who drove cars, danced to Charleston, and lived life on her own terms. Now let's meet some of the brilliant designers who defined this golden era. First up, Cartier. Under Louis Cartier, the house became a powerhouse of Art Deco innovation. Louis was the one who popularized platinum in fine jewelry. Before him, most pieces of fine jewelry were crafted in yellow gold. Platinum allowed for lighter, more intricate designs that could actually be worn all day. Cartier also gave us the famous Tutti Frutti style. Carved emeralds, rubies, and sapphires arranged like colorful fruit baskets inspired by Indian maharajas. Think jade and diamond clip brooches or sapphire dress sets from the mid-1920s. Pure glamour that still fetches record prices at auction. Next, the Masters of Mystery, Van Cleef & Arpels. Founded in 1906 but exploding in the Art Deco period, this house perfected the invisible or quote-unquote mystery setting in the 1930s. Gems appear to float with no visible prongs. Pure magic. They also created the Menaudière, the ultimate jeweled vanity case for the modern woman on the go. Egyptian motifs were a signature, and their emerald and diamond bracelets from the 1920s remain icons of streamlined elegance. Now let's talk about French trailblazers who pushed boundaries even further. Raymond Templier, a third-generation jeweler, embraced cubism and industrial design. He used icy white metals with aquamarines, lapis, and coral, and even experimented with steel, aluminum, and chrome. His tank track motif, intersecting lines inspired by military tanks, and flawless geometric pieces with negative space made his work look like wearable sculpture. Clients included artists and visionaries who wanted jewelry that matched the new modern world. Georges Fouquet and his son Jean brought mechanical inspiration to high-end jewelry. At the groundbreaking 1925 Exposition Internationale in Paris, Fouquet exhibited pieces like an emerald, onyx, and diamond pendant necklace that looked like it was designed by an architect. They mixed precious gems with lacquer and played with light by pairing opaque stones against transparent ones. Pure Art Deco drama. Paul-Emile Brandt took a more monochromatic approach. White gold, black enamel, and diamonds in crisp circles, triangles, and rectangles. His lacquered cigarette cases and menaudières were showstoppers. He loved juxtaposing gems to create optical illusions of depth and sparkle. He exhibited internationally right up to the late 1930s. And we can't forget Suzanne Belperron, who started at René Bolvin, then struck out on her own in the 1930s. She believed, my style is my signature, so she never hallmarked her pieces. Belperron created sculptural, curvaceous jewels inside geometric frames using rock crystal, chalcedony, and cabochon cuts for a bold, tactile feel. Her work blended deco structure with organic softness and exotic motifs from Egypt, India, and Africa. Today, her unsigned pieces are instantly recognizable to experts and fetch top dollar. Of course, there were others like Jean Dupré, who literally used ball bearings and gears as inspiration, or American houses like Tiffany & Company and Raymond Yard, who brought Hollywood glamour to the style. But these core visionaries shaped the movement. Their contributions weren't just pretty baubles. They reflected a world speeding into the future. Platinum settings let jewelry become lighter and more wearable. New cuts and invisible settings pushed technical boundaries. And that fearless mixing of materials and cultures celebrated global creativity after the war. So why does Art Deco jewelry still feel so fresh nearly a century later? Because it's timelessly modern. You see its influence in everything from today's geometric engagement rings to high fashion runway pieces. Whether you're hunting vintage at auctions or admiring a modern reinterpretation, that bold geometry and dramatic contrast never goes out of style. This episode has focused mainly on upper-end fine jewelry. Join us again in our next episode when we'll discuss the explosion of costume jewelry that happened in the 1920s and 1930s. Rhinestones, Bakelite, and Catalan. We'll get into that in our next episode. In the meantime, keep hunting, keep hoping, keep learning, and keep the past alive.